Motion, gentlemen.
Make a motion.
Out executive, be in director.
I make a motion to come out of executive session back into regular session.
Did you do that, Mr. Duke? Thank you. Appreciate that. It's been moved second that we come out of executive session back into regular session. Okay? Mr. Griffin, I guess we need to make a...
Need to vote on it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I will get my head together. Mr. Cole?
What am I voting on?
Just say yes.
Just get so you can talk.
I'll do that, yes.
Thank you.
I feel safe on doing that one.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Next item of business, appeal subdivision 2006-73.
Okay, this item, we have received an appeal request for the Whispering Meadows subdivision. On August 20th, the subdivision was approved with a reduction in the number of lots from 400 to 324 by the Planning and Zoning Commission. You did receive copies of the appeal request and the transcript previously. We do have copies of the Planning and Zoning Commission minutes, which I will go ahead and pass out. From the two different meetings that they heard and then made a decision on about this. The appeal questions the commission's ability to reduce the maximum number of lots from 400 to 324. And there was one concern regarding the timeliness of the transcript, which was received. It's supposed to be received within 30 days after the appeal was filed, and it was approximately 2 weeks late.
In order to go forward with this, first make a decision whether the appeal transcript is going to be considered as having been timely filed, or whether it was going to be considered as not timely filed. If it's considered as not timely filed, then the appeal is dismissed. If it's considered as having been timely filed, then the appeal is still alive. In the letter from the applicant's attorney, they indicated that they had trouble getting the court reporter to produce the transcript within the 30 days, and that was the reason for the request that they'd be allowed to file it late. So I suppose I need to know which way you're inclined to go on that, if you want me to propose a form of motion.
Okay.
Well, can I ask a question?
Go ahead, Mr. Cole.
The transcript is done by who? Who?
Court.
Who's
court.
Held them up?
Court recorders.
The court recorder. Now, is there anybody's recollection that this has happened before where they've not been able to produce it in 30 days, or is this?
This is the first time.
I mean, did they give any other reasons other than they placed the blame on this person?
Well, the transcript was actually dated about 7 days after the expiration of the 30 days for it to be filed.
It was 1 week late with the date, and then by the time we received it, it was another week?
They probably mailed it to the applicant's attorney, and then by the time they got it and got it over here, it was maybe...
It was
2 weeks?
It was due like October 20th and received on November 4th.
If you remember, we had the debate when we created the ordinance for the new appeal process. We were talking 30, 60, 90 days, what was enough to allow the courts to get their transcript back to them, and we agreed, us here agreed on 30 days. Apparently it was not the case.
It may have been the court reporter's workload, because they can actually have access to this, the hearing. I mean, they can take it right off the internet.
Immediately. Right.
I mean, you're talking about, what, how many pages there? 50 pages or something like that? I mean, that's a lot to copy word for word. There's 44 pages plus a bunch of garbage in the back. I don't know what all that means, but...
That's just an index.
Okay. Well, there's 44 pages, and everything is copied word for word. That looks like a lot of
Well, then, are you implying then that 30 days is enough? Because some people have been able to do it in 30 days. I'm just wondering if we set a precedent here, we start accepting them late. I mean, does this open us up for everybody, coming in with
late transcript
excuse?
I think Mr. Rogers is right. I think you maybe should consider lengthening it out to 60 days.
I don't remember that discussion, but it could have happened.
Well, that's not the issue today. The issue today is whether you're gonna...
That's another bridge.
Whether you want me to give you a proposed form of motion to dismiss the appeal because of the...
Well, why don't we do that first and get that off the table, make a motion to dismiss it because of it, it doesn't meet our ordinance, which says it, and then we'll go to the next step if that doesn't pass. That would at least clear up the issue of the timeliness of it.
Well, that motion would be something like, be it moved that council dismiss the appeal because the transcript was not filed within 30 days as required by section 99-39 of our code.
So moved. Second, John?
Got to vote on it. You can vote it up or down. Just vote on it.
This allows the way I understand it, this motion allows us to hear today or not to hear?
No.
His motion is
we haven't done a motion yet. Over. That one didn't get a second. Do you want me to go for the other alternative?
Well, I certainly think so, because we're not making much ground this way.
Okay. Be it moved that council allow the appeal transcript on subdivision 2006-73 to be accepted as having been timely filed.
Okay. Make a motion.
Second?
Second.
Moving second, it allows us to hear the appeal, or to, we're talking about strictly transcripts now, right?
To consider the appeal.
To consider the appeal.
You have to make the decision on the transcript. There's
should
no hearing.
Should you clarify, because it really wasn't timely filed, should you make that better, a little bit better wording in there, add something like it was...
As having been
timely... Attempted to be filed timely, in a timely fashion or something.
Be accepted as having been timely filed, and that the reason for the motion is that the applicant encountered difficulty in obtaining it from the court reporter in time to meet the requirement. How about that?
Are you getting all that?
Something like that. I mean, something has to be on the record saying, because it wasn't.
Leave a space, right?
Because obviously it wasn't timely filed.
Okay, well, I added that.
Okay.
Would you accept that
as timely filed?
Mr. Cole, will you accept the additional?
Yeah, that makes it clear. Yes, that makes it clear.
That's my motion.
Would you accept that?
Do you want to clarify the motion? Let's go one more time, Jim. Back to you.
Can you read it back, Robin?
Or do
you
waving? I'm going to have to go onto the tape.
Okay. Be it moved the council allow the appeal transcript on subdivision appeal 2006-73 to be accepted as having been timely filed due to the difficulty encountered by the applicant in obtaining the court reporter's transcript by the required filing date.
Makes sense.
Okay. By code.
I'm
and we have a motion, we have a second. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Now.
The appeal is now before you.
Okay. I guess, Lawrence, do you want to come on up? I guess you should jump in here a little bit. Thank you.
I don't know what else I can say. David's pretty well had it covered.
All right.
Maybe you could just explain the condition that was involved and which resulted in the density number changing.
Let me go back just a little bit further than that, just for the record.
Please.
And for the record, I'll just read the title. Is that all right?
Yes.
This is subdivision 2006-73, the application of Anthony Spazzato to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, dividing 261.99 acres into 400 lots using the cluster subdivision concept located south of Road 252, also known as Huff Road, 2,500 feet east of Road 319, also known as Sand Hill Road. Planning and Zoning held public hearing on July 10th of 2008. The commissioners were provided with an exhibit booklet, which was part of the record. The Technical Advisory Committee reviewed the application back in June of 2007. We received two letters in support of the applicant from Director of Development of Carl M. Freeman Companies for the quality of their work, and also from Rick Huff, one of the property owners in the immediate area. The applicant was present with representation of Dennis Schrader, attorney, and others, gave testimony. Bonnie Steele was present as an adjacent property owner and voiced objections. Commission deferred action on July 10th On August 20th of 2008, the commission reconsidered this application under old business. Waiting on that Artesian Resources will supply wastewater treatment and water to the project, just to clarify the record. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission grant preliminary approval of subdivision 2006-73 for Anthony Spazzato, based upon the record and for the following reasons. The applicant is seeking approval of a cluster subdivision within the AR zone. The applicant is seeking clustered lots with a minimum area of 7,500 square foot. The typical lot square footage is 10,000 square feet. A subdivision on this site with the proposed conditions will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. Subdivision will not adversely impact schools, public buildings, area roadways, or public transportation. The proposed subdivision meets the purpose and standards of the subdivision ordinance. Mr. Johnson was satisfied that the project is of a superior design under the subdivision ordinance. It is superior in design because it provides for the retention of natural and open space features. There will be approximately 147 acres, being 50% of the site, remaining in open space. The design will also retain approximately 125 acres of the existing forested area. The design addresses the requirements of Section 99-9C of the code. And number seven, Mr. Johnson states, I'm recommending that the proposed subdivision have no more than 324 lots on the 261.99 acres for a variety of reasons. While the applicant is seeking 400 lots, the reduction in the number of lots is warranted due to the rural farming, extensively wooded and sparsely populated area. The cumulative effect or impact on this and other developments previously approved and proposed on the local infrastructure and the area in general. Wetland represents over 38% of the total acres. The number of lots requested is significantly greater than the number of lots that could be developed on this parcel under the standard subdivision format. 400 lots on a 162 acres of upland is too great, with the density of 2.5 lots per acre, and the 324 lots being recommended is more in line with the AR1 zoning of 2 lots per acre. The subdivision will be served by central sewer and water, and the rest of the items are referencing site plan requirements. There's <coughs> 15 items that were used as conditions of approval. And there was a motion and second carried unanimously to grant preliminary approval of the subdivision application for the reasons and with the conditions stated. Now, the basis of the appeal was the change from 400 to 324 lots.
Was the number of acres that were considered to be wetlands directly related to the reduction in density?
I believe so, yes.
And how is that essentially the number of lots they would lose if those wetlands were not allowed to be considered as part of in the density calculation?
That would be right. Okay. Correct. And that's all, they were all upland wetlands.
So if the wetlands were considered in the density calculation, they could have gotten 400 lots.
The only thing I see is the 10.
That's correct.
And with in that zoning category or district, with central sewer and water, how many lots could they get under the code now?
Under the standard, at a standard subdivision? I don't know if I can answer that without playing with the calculator a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. And where in our code does it say they have to delete the wetlands before making that calculation?
It doesn't.
Okay, it doesn't.
Mr. Johnson's motion.
Right.
So the application does meet our codes.
Typically, pardon?
This application, as requested, meets our codes.
It could have a cluster, sure.
What's the density calculation?
That's what he's asking for.
It's like 0.6.
He would ask for 400, and Mr. Johnson reduced it 324.
But what's the density calculation?
I thought he deducted the upland wetlands out of the calculation.
But they're allowed to calculate that, aren't they?
2.5.
You have the ability to do it, but you have the ability to not to do it.
There again.
38%.
There again, if they stick to the ordinance, we wouldn't have this problem.
I guess, but they did ask it, if I'm not mistaken, 400 went to 393?
324.
No, I mean, the commission did that, I understand. But I read also that 393 was the number that shook out
on page 15.
On the action where they did that.
15 to 16.
Yeah. Excuse me. And they said that only, the only concern to that, the only 10 of the lots of the 393 border day of the buffer.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Marty, say it.
I was reading through it. In their presentation, they were proposing 1.5 units per acre.
Correct.
And the ordinance allows 2.
Right.
Okay.
So 162 times.
They were at 1.65.
Huh? 1.5 is what the density of this project, by right, they is allowed 2.
Okay, gotcha.
Because it's within the development district. Is that correct, Ron? Is that what it is, right?
It's an AR zone.
AR
zone. Low density area.
Okay.
Where you allow the cluster is only an AR.
Right. And, but if it's in the development district, it's greater, right?
Could be.
If you include the wetland in the density calculation, how many lots would they have been allowed in the cluster?
By the definition of the cluster, 524.
It seems excessive for 161 acres, gentlemen, but you all like development so much and like high density in agricultural districts. Probably doesn't seem excessive to you all, but most people would find it excessive. And I think our Planning and Zoning Commission felt the same way.
Okay. Any other questions?
Awfully generous.
Do you have the title?
Well, let me just go through the appeal ordinance.
Okay.
Tell you what your options are.
Okay.
Council may send the matter back to the commission for further review and consideration if the council considers necessary. If you send it back, you have the option to require them to hold a new hearing. Next option, council may reverse the decision of the commission on a finding that the commission made an error in its interpretation of the applicable sections of the chapter, or that the commission's findings and conclusions were not the result of an orderly and logical review of the evidence and the applicable provisions of this chapter. So those are really your options. To send it back, either with or without request for them to hold a new hearing, or to reverse them, or to affirm them.
I don't see any need in sending back. They're going to come back with the same decision.
Not necessarily.
That's why they appealed it here, and
okay.
I read it. I'm prepared to vote.
Be clear that if you vote on this to allow to reverse them, that what you're voting on is the condition that says there shall be no more than 324 lots, and you need to specify what those number of lots would be.
Okay.
They were seeking 400, is that true?
393, and the only question would be that any of the transcript would be 10 butted up against the buffer, but that would be it. So.
This is an appeal, so you don't really need to go back and read the title. We're not adopting an ordinance.
I make a motion we approve or we overturn the appeal, and we change number one where it says 324 lots to 393 lots.
May I make a suggestion?
Yes.
That if that's going to be your motion, that you clarified a little bit to say that we reverse the commission decision to limit it to 324 lots, as opposed to overturn the appeal.
393.
That's my decision, or my motion. We reverse the commission's decision on subdivision 206-206-73, Whispering Meadows, and we allow them 324 lots.
That's the number they allowed now. I think the number, if you're going to go to what they asked for, was 393?
Well, I think they were asking for 400, but there was something about...
No, it's in the thing, Dale.
7, 15, what, 16, okay.
They advertised at 400, and they made 393 during...
They voluntarily proposed.
393 is a motion.
Could you read the motion back, Robin?
To reverse the commission's decision to limit the number of lots to 324 and to change the number of allowed lots to 393.
Could I request that you add to that motion, based on the finding that the commission made an error in its interpretation of the applicable section of the subdivision ordinance?
What makes you think they did
make
an error?
I'm not sure they made it. I mean, I believe they made an error, but I think it was intentional.
We have 17.
In order to reverse them, your appeal statute says you have to find that they made an error in the interpretation or that their findings and conclusions were not the result of an orderly and logical review. Either one. You could use either one, but we need to say which one it was.
Which one you want, Dale?
They made a mistake in the interpretation.
Yes. Could you read back that amendment? Or the ordinance as amended, or the motion as amended?
I did not get that whole thing. Based on the findings that the commission made an error in the interpretation of the subdivision ordinance?
Yes.
99-whatever.
Everybody clear on Mr. Duke's motion?
Any questions, Mr. Duke? Any questions of the attorney? We have a motion. I need a second.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we restore the 393 on the appeal as far as the buildable lot. Mr. Cole.
I'm going to support the commission's assessment. The 161 acres is the buildable area, and when you exclude all the wetlands, because everybody knows that you can't build in these wetlands, and typically, you know, whether they're state or non-state, or non-title, the difficulty in trying to get permits there they are typically excluded. So the Planning and Zoning Commission realized that the environmentally sensitive area of the wetlands shouldn't be calculated in this application. It's also a level 4 area, and the development should be limited to the 324 units. So I support Planning and Zoning Commission's assessment, and therefore I don't support the appeal.
Okay.
That would be it.
Thank you, Mr. Mr. Phillips.
Whether you're for or against this application, most people believe in predictability of the process, and our subdivision code is quite clear on what's required of the developer, and if they follow those steps, they are afforded a certain number of units. In this case, they actually could have received over 540 units. They have reduced it down to 393, which is very reasonable. It is a superior design, offering 56% open space. 123 acres of existing forested areas will be left intact, I think, to overturn planning and zoning.
Mr. Dukes.
We have rules which are called ordinances, and we adopt these ordinances through public hearing for the commission, planning, zoning. We adopt the ordinances. The developers know the rules. They have to go by the ordinances that are adopted. And we have been saying for a few weeks now, I think it's totally unfair to pull stuff out of the air and just say, I don't like it, I'm going to take some away, because they have one opinion. They need to stick to the ordinance. If they stick to the ordinance, we would not be hearing the appeal and the number of appeals we've been having. And it's all because they don't go by the ordinances, and the developers are caught shorthanded at the last minute because they don't know what they're going to do when they make the stipulations up. However, I think I agree, Mr. Phillips, they could do 500 and some units, and they've got superior design, open space, and all that. My vote is yes to overturn the appeal.
Roger.
I've always been one to uphold P&Z, but in this case, it's quite evident the comments that Mr. Phillips made were correct. My vote is yes.
After reading the transcript, if you point out, it says there's 261 acres, and out of that 261 acres, 0.99, if you really want to get technical, 147 acres of it is in open space. You know, they delineated the wetlands. They follow the rules, which is what the ordinances are, and that's why we have those ordinances. So that, you know, it's just not throwing a dart at it and see what they'll take. So my vote would be yes to appeal the
overturn
the decision of planning zoning. Motion passed. Okay. We do have no introduction to ordinances, is that correct, Robin?
That's correct.
Additional business for council.
I have an item of additional business.
Okay.
Robin, because she's so perceptive, detailed, and efficient on my resolutions. Cash resolutions. I have one more piece. These are, I opened up the accounts, but they're also a cash management account with Wilmington Trust. I apologize for taking up your time with this and not catching it earlier. If I could read the resolution.
Certainly, it would be our privilege.
Cash management account resolution resolved that the president of Sussex County Council be and hereby is authorized to enter into cash management agreements with Wilmington Trust for the account Sussex County Council Employee Pension Plan and Sussex County Council Post-Employment Benefit Plan.
So move. Second, please.
Second.
Move to second that we approve the account as read by Susie Webb. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Ms. Phillips?
Yes.
Ms. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susie. Dan, come on down.
Talk about turkey.
Turkey.
My name is Dan Kramer. You know, it took me a while to figure out what was going on, because I've been having, President Jones here has had an open door policy ever since I've been around here. And I'll tell you what, of course our good old Councilman Cole says, well, come January, I won't be here. Well, we're going to find out whether I'm going to be here, because if I'm healthy, I sure as crap will be here. But I will tell you this. Also, he says, I won't be able to go over there to see my councilman. Well, now I'm going to find out whether Sam's going to keep his word, because he says he's going to have an open door policy. So we're going to find out. Of course, what I'd like to know is how come he doesn't want me over there to see my councilman. Well, I finally figured it out. You know, it takes a dumb country bumpkin a few days occasionally to figure out something. Of course, they're all a bunch of turkeys. You want to call it and talk about turkeys. But anyhow, we got three new turkeys coming in. So we're going to train them, too, while we're at it.
Beg your pardon?
We got three new turkeys coming in, too, to train. So, but that's beside the point. The point of the matter is, I figured out why he wants nobody over there. Because he wants to go back to do the old-fashioned way before you guys were even here. Now, Dukes might have been here, but the rest of you weren't here.
Dukes was a young man back in the
day. Wants to go,
right.
He wants to go back to the backroom deals that they used to do, and they made the deals over there, and then they walked in here, and they all knew how they were going to vote, every one of them. See, that's why he wants to do that. You want me?
You can say that.
What do you mean I can't say that? And I'll tell you what, I'd love to see him try to do the backroom deals, because it ain't going to happen.
Okay.
Because I'm going to be right there knocking on their doors.
Don't be ugly.
Have a good one.
You bet.
Don't be ugly.
Thank you, Dan.
We'll give you the new rules, January.
Gentlemen, we did talk about it. It's only 3:30. I said we weren't going to do anything until 4:30. The only thing I need now is a motion to bump up the old addition. Old business.
So moved.
Second.
Moved to second that we move old business up on the agenda prior to the 4:30.
Considered now.
It can be considered now. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes, motion passed. Lawrence, we're just going to beat you up a little bit before we feed you.
Bear with me a second, I get
it. Okay, that's cool.
You might as well.
Yeah, that's fine. Yes.
Caldera?
Caldera. It's because you have to provide paperwork there, or at least something, right?
Mr. Jones, I'm going to suggest to Mr. Wilson that he just takes his door off the hinges.
Off the hinges?
Did you hear that?
Just take the door off the hinges. Would that be okay? Do you want to do that before you leave?
I can do that. Would that be done next week?
Hold on, Michael.
Or maybe if we, you know, I'm in a low rent district out there anyway.
You are back there in the back.
Yeah,
here.
And maybe we could just cut a hole in the wall.
You know what we could do? We could even put some railroad tracks back there.
Put a hole in the wall, direct to the hallway.
Everyone will be here.
Take a 2-minute recess. The only thing I forgot was my report.
Works for me. Go ahead. Okay. Yeah, we'll take
I got plenty.
Wait, Dale's taking a break.
He's out the room already.